Okay, it's an incredible schus to be together, to prepare, hopefully for a yontiv. Hopefully through the Torah tonight, through the chizik tonight, we'll be zoyche to a big geula, and be dancing together in Shalayim, and not having to sit on the floor tomorrow night. First, before we begin, I want to thank the sponsors of tonight, and everyone should have in mind, tonight's shir is being sponsored by the Shertz Mishpacha, Lil Nishmas, Menachem Mendel Ben Moshe. Menachem Mendel Ben Moshe was Jennifer, Alyssa, Moshe Yosef, Yisrael Shmai Alter's uncle, whose yahrzeit is tonight, tomorrow, and all the Torah, and all the Chizik, all the Zayrus, should be a big schus for his neshama, Lil Nishmaso. He should be a Melech Yosher for his incredible Mishpacha, who I love so much. And they should be Zayich and only Simcha and Bracha. And we should all be together with him, with Mashiach Bekarov, the Gula Shleim, and Tchias HaMesim Bekarov B'Yameinu. You know, it's hard. It's hard that for the past, I don't know how long, 10 years, 12 years, many of us have been together, Tisha B'Av. We've had a very special program in DRS over the years. And the first year in many, many years that we're not going to be together. But I'm taking that as a siman tov. That Bezer Hashem, the reason we didn't have Achana, we didn't prepare to be together, is because we're not going to need this Tisha B'Av at all. We're not going to need a program, and we're going to be mamish dancing together, Bezer Hashem. And we still have one day left, and hopefully, Bezer Hashem, through all this Torah, and Chizik, and Isoris, we can lift ourselves up and do what needs to be done to bring the Gula Shleim of Bekarov. The Chsam Sofer, the Heilige Chsam Sofer, on Erev Tisha B'Av in the afternoon, he would sit on the floor, and he'd lament and he'd cry about Churban, about the state of Galus, about not having a Beis HaMikdash, and he had a cup. And he would literally collect all the tears in a cup. It would fill up the cup with tears. And at the Suda HaMafsekes, the Suda prior to Tisha B'Av, to prepare for Tisha B'Av, he would drink this cup of tears. That was on Erev Tisha B'Av. Not on Tisha B'Av. That was all on Erev Tisha B'Av. We've just entered into Erev Tisha B'Av. We're holding an Erev Tisha B'Av. Are we crying? Are we mourning? Do we feel? Do we even know what we have to feel? But we have to mourn. And the mourning and the avelus and the tears are not merely just to be said. Those tears are supposed to be the impetus, are supposed to be the reminder that we need to grow, that we need to do more, that we need to do our part to help rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, to help bring about Geula. There's a very famous Gemara in Nedarim, very, very famous Gemara in Nedarim. And the Gemara in Nedarim, it's trying to understand why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, again it's in Nedarim, Pei Aleph, Mi ha'ish ha'chacham v'yavin azos. Who's going to be the wise man to understand why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed so that we could understand what we have to rectify? And the Gemara goes on and explains, Dover zeh nishal l'chachamim u'l'neviyim. This was asked to the biggest Talmidei Chachamim and to Nevi'im, to prophets. V'lo pirshu. And they had no explanation. Until HaChapirshu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, famously, based on the Pasuk, Al-Azvem Es Torasi, Shelo Baruch Hu Torah Tchila, that we didn't say Berach HaZatorah. And there's a lot of deep Torah on that I'm not going to get into tonight. I want to backtrack to the beginning of the Gemara. The beginning of the Gemara says, it was asked to the Chachamim and asked to Nevi'im. Nevi'im, prophets. who had nevuah, why there was Churban Beis HaMikdash. And to understand why is to understand what we need to do, how we need to fix and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says, V'lo pershu. They couldn't explain. I ask you, if Talmidei Chachamim, if Nevi'im, were not able to explain why Hashem destroyed Beis HaMikdash, Aryeh Cohen is able? We are able to understand, and if we can't understand, how can we know what we need to do better? What does Hashem expect from us? What does Hashem expect from you or I? If the Chachamim and the Nevi'im didn't understand why there was Churban Beis HaMikdash, what's the expectation? As I saw an incredible idea from Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Shach explains, it might be true that Talmidei Chachamim and the Nevi'im didn't understand, but every individual always deeply knows what they need to fix. Every individual knows what they need to do better. Every individual knows how they can be a better person and where they need to improve. We just have to open up our hearts and be a little bit more honest with ourselves. We know what we're not doing good enough. We know what we need to fix. We know what we need to be mitaken to bring geula, and it's our job. And let's start to be really honest with ourselves, brutally honest with ourselves. That's what Rav Shach explains. You know, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. The candle of Hashem is our neshama. And it ends, Chapez Kol Chadrei Beten. It's able to search into all the chambers of the stomach. You know, that's telling us, every single one of us has a neshama inside us. That neshama is chelek eloka mimal mamish. That neshama is part and parcel of Hashem. We have a piece of God inside of us. Hashem is in us. And that part of us, inside us, is Ein Sof in Chachma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that was able to explain in the end. And that same HaKadosh Baruch Hu is within ourselves. So we could understand, and we do know. We know what we can do better. We know how we can grow. We know how what we need to do to bring Geula. But stop faking it. And stop covering it over. And we have to start opening up and being honest with ourselves. To look into ourselves. And that's what the Avelus should be doing to us. If we're going to sit on the floor, if that happens, lo aleinu, we still have a few hours, but if we will, and we're in mourning, it means we haven't done enough. And I have to look into myself and know what I can do better. And each and every one of us can know. Because we have that neshama within us. We have that neshama that searching the deepest of places. But we have to be honest and we have to be straight. And we have to be willing and wanting to grow. Kol dar shelo nivne beis hamikdash biyamav kilu nechrav. Every dar, every generation where the Beis HaMikdash was not rebuilt, it's as if we've destroyed it. If we don't have a Beis HaMikdash today, it's because I've destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. It's because I haven't done enough. We have to feel that, and we have to believe that. And you want to raise up your hands? So what am I supposed to do? Look into yourself and figure it out. You know. I know. Be real. Be open. And grow. And use the days. The days is not meant merely to mourn. It's not merely to be sad. The mourning, the sadness, is there so that we can grow and improve in that way that only each and every one of us individually knows. Only we know our true selves and know what we need to fix. That's what Rav Shach is teaching us, because we have our neshama within us. And that's our avot of these days. To truly grow, to truly fix that part of us. And bring geula. And we have to recognize it. That's our avodah. the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim V'Lashiner, he says in the words in Pirkei Avos, the words that on the surface have a different meaning. In Pirkei Avos we say, Da Malamala Mimcha. You should know what's above you. So Pashut Pshat is, you should think about it, know there's a Ribono Shel Olam above you. But he says it means something else. Da mashalamala. No, that which happens from above, that which Hashem decides should occur in this world, it's mimcha, it's from you. It's because of us. He says there so bluntly. It wasn't Titus or Nebuchadnezzar that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. That was just a physical consequence. It was our Meisim that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. You and I. And it's our Meisim that continue to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, I'm not doing enough. I need to do more. And what? I know what. I have to be honest and real. And I have to do more, and I can do more. And I should do more. That's the avoda. That's what this avelus is about. And sometimes we rationalize. We convince ourselves. We're good. I'm good. Let's be real. I've grown a lot more than who I used to be. There isn't more growth I can do. There isn't more that I have to work on. I have to be honest with myself and grow in the way that I need to be growing to bring geula, to bring redemption. I want to learn a little bit from Eicha. I want to learn two psukim in Eicha. I hope in the schus that we learn a little Eicha tonight, we won't have to say over any Eicha tomorrow night. We won't have to be sitting on the floor and hearing those words, Eicha, Yishva Badar. We shouldn't have to hear such words. That haunting tune. So let's just learn. In the schus that we learn about it tonight, we won't need to hear it tomorrow night. We won't need to be back in that moment. That moment, it's like one of those moments that we feel we're always in. It's one of those moments we feel we're always in. That moment. You know, there are moments in life you feel like you never leave it. You're always in it because it's such emotion and leaves such a roshim, such an imprint. It's like, Lamashal, I feel like I'm always leaving the Kaisel. Like my whole life is leaving the Kaisel. How much of a year am I leaving the Kaisel? A few times a year for a few moments. But those moments are so emotional and so full of meaning that when I'm there in that moment, it's like I don't even remember anything else, and that moment is so strong. And that's Tisha B'Av as well. You know, when we're going to... Halavai, it shouldn't happen. When we sit on the floor, it's like I've been in this for my whole life. But let's hope in this chus that we learn about Eicha, we won't have to read Eicha this year, Mir Tashem. So two psukim, Perak Aleph, Pazuk Ches, and Pazuk Tes. If you want to look inside, if you have Eicha available. Chet Chatayu Shalayim. Shalayim is a reference to us. We've sinned. It's a double lashon. We've greatly sinned. Al Kain L'Nida Hayasa. Therefore, we are like in a state of Nida, a state of Tumah. Kol machmadeha, he's lua. All those who used to admire us, despise us. Kiro ervasa, for they see her disgrace. Gamhina noch v'toshavachar, she also sighs and turns backwards. The next pasuk says, Tumasa bishuleha, her contamination, her uncleanliness, it clings, it's in her skirt. Lo zachra achrisa, she doesn't even remember anything for the future. V'teired plum, she's fallen into an appalling place. Ein menachim la, she gets no comfort. Re'e Hashem es anyi, see Hashem all my misery. Ki higda oyev, my enemy is great upon me. We have to understand these psukim and what they're talking about. But let's first understand Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Now when we remember the Beis HaMikdash, we commemorate the Chorban Beis HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av. It's Chorban Bayis Rishon and Chorban Bayis Sheni. We're really, it's true, we're trying to more so, and we'll get to that, rectify the second Beis HaMikdash, because that's our galus that we're still in. But we're discussing Churban, we're still commemorating in the tragedy of Churban Bais Rishon as well. The Gemara in Tainus tells us the five occurrences of Tisha B'Av. One of them is Churban Bais Rishon, and one of them Churban Bais Sheni. Churban Bais Rishon, the Gemara tells us in Yuma Daf Tes, was because of the big three. Gilui Arayos, illicit relations, Shfichas Damim, murder, and Avodah Zarah, and idol worship. Bais Sheni, as we all famously know, was because of Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred. Now, even right away to all of us, those seem so different. But I want to point out one major difference between those two areas. You know, almost every single sin, almost every Avera, is an Avera that there are exceptions to the rule. For example, the major exception. If one's life is at risk, for pikuach nefesh, you're allowed to be over an Avera. You're supposed to be over an Avera. Shabbos Kodesh. How much we love Shabbos. How much we connect to Shabbos. Shabbos, my whole life is Shabbos. But lo aleinu, somebody is ill and somebody needs to go to the hospital. It's a chiv to get in a car and get to the hospital. That's what you should do. There are circumstances where that Avera is supposed to be broken. Every single Avera. Sinas Chinam as well. If in order to save your life, you have to hate somebody else, that's the appropriate thing to do. There are even situations, perhaps, by a Rasha, halachically you're allowed and supposed to hate them. There are situations that are the exceptions to the rule. By all Averos, except for three. Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Damim, Avodah Zarah, as we all know, is Yeharag V'Al Yavor. We're supposed to give up our life for them. They're the most intense of Averos. Averos that are so clear in Avera, there is no exception. There is no rationalization. There's no such thing as a situation where it's acceptable to go and be involved in Gilui Arayos. It's Yerag Vayavar. You give up your life for it. You give up your life for it. You give up your life before you worship an idol. You give up your life before you'd kill someone else to save your life. In self-defense, okay, that's an interesting type of a situation, but that's because who's to say their life is more? I'm not going to get into that right now. A slight type of exception, but not. Halachically, we understand the difference between these three Averos and all other Averos. And therefore, we have to understand, these three, it's so clear more than any other Avera, the magnitude of that Avera. And therefore, those are the most revealed of Averas. And therefore, if you've done these Averas, you surely would recognize you did an Avera. And surely we would be brought to do tshuva and fix what needs to be fixed. And that's what the Pasuk here is saying. In the first Pasuk, it's talking about Churban Bais Rishon. And it says, Chet Chatayush Laim, a double language. It was such a clear chet. The big three. So clear. Kirahu ervasa. We see so clearly the erva. We see the defilement. We see what we've done wrong. It's so megale, it's so revealed. Therefore, v'tashuv achar, therefore we'll do tshuva. And therefore, after Churban Bais Rishon, it was only a 70-year galus. There was a limit. Because it was so clear, we knew what we did wrong. Of course we did tshuva. When it's so clear to you, you're going to fix it. Nobody wants to do wrong. Nobody wants to continue doing wrong. Doing something that if we see it and we know it, naturally I'm going to fix it. And that's what we did. Ki ra'a ervasa, the pasuk says. We saw it, we knew it. V'tashuv, v'lashuv, we did tshuva. It was set, it was kates. As the Gemara says, Rishonim, the first Beis HaMikdash, is a Gemara in Yuma, Tesama Beis, Shenisgala Avonim, the sins were revealed, Nisgala Ketzam. The end was revealed, it was very short, 70 years, and that was a prophecy, it would only be 70 years. But when it comes to Sinas Chinam, when it comes to Sinas Chinam, when it comes to baseless hatred, and all the things we're trying to work on, whatever else there's out there, But let's start with Sinas Chinam, but it's not merely Sinas Chinam. My last night was giving a shir. I was giving a shir to young women, and one of the women asked the following question. She said, you know, I know that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And that's what we always learn about, we're trying to fix. But can it be that the reason the Beis HaMikdash hasn't been rebuilt is also because since then we've done many other sins that we need to fix? Like now, are we only working on Sinas Chinam or other things as well? Brilliant question. Brilliant question. And I said, I don't know the answer to your question. I've never seen it discussed. But I tell you that I believe it's an excellent question, and it's probably, from my understanding, both. There's definitely an emphasis on Sinas Chinam that, trust me, we see it day and night, is still going on in the world. The Mount of Machlokes, just amongst ourselves, is so sad. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. First and foremost has to be midos, how we care for others, how we give to others. Everything else is secondary. Everything else. All other mitzvahs. If you can't be a mensch, you can't be a good person, can't be nice to another person, can't make sure that I never put down another person, that I never make another person feel bad. Never. Privately and definitely publicly. Scary, the machloikas in our world. Scary. Sinas Chinam is definitely one of the reasons, and that's why it was destroyed initially, and for sure we haven't been attacking. Sadly, very clear. But probably you're right. There's other things also since we need to fix that's holding back the Beis HaMikdash. And maybe even if we fix Sinas Chinam, Hashem wouldn't bring it because of those other things that would also call for the destruction. There's a lot we need to fix. But Sinas Chinam is something that, unlike the big three, is not as revealed. We could rationalize. We could figure out, and it's okay in this situation. We could think about it in a way because that person, big time, deserves it. And it's for toelis, there's a purpose behind it. And we figure out why it's okay in that situation for myself, because I feel better that way, I don't want to feel bad about myself. It's not as clear. And overall, it's not as clear. And that's what the Gemara says. Achronim, the second Beis HaMikdash, the second Galus Shelo, Nisgale Avonam, the sins were not revealed. Lo Nisgale Ketzam, the end is not revealed, and we're close to 2,000 years trying to figure it out. Close to 2,000 years trying to figure it out. And we're still here. And we still haven't. And that's what the Pasuk says, the second Pasuk that we quoted, is our gula that we need to do. Tumasa bishuleha. Our tumma is hidden in our skirts. It's not as revealed chata out in the open. It's bishuleha, it's hidden in the skirt. Lo zachra. We don't remember it. We don't recall it. And we're still here. But as Rav Shach said, if we were honest with ourselves, we'd find it and we know it. We don't need the chachamim or the neviim. We have to start to be honest with ourselves. And be true to ourselves. And be real. And stop living a fake life just to impress others. Impress society. Impress our friends. Because we've been seduced by other influences in our life. I want to explain to you something very deep that I think about every day of the Bein HaMitzarim. A Torah from my Rebbe, Rav Menachem Mendel Blachman, Shlita. Rav Blachman, trying to give over to us years ago what Beis HaMikdash really represented, what we're lacking, what we're missing, what these days are really about, because we so often try to feel the pain, to ignite the tshuva that we're speaking about, but we bring it in through talking about the Holocaust, which this day is very much about as well, or modern day tragedies, which also, again, Tisha B'Av is the day to commemorate all tragedies. But primarily, the focal point is Beis HaMikdash, but it's very hard to mourn Beis HaMikdash. I never met the Beis HaMikdash. I never experienced the Beis HaMikdash. I never saw the menorah. I never saw the shulchan. I never saw Kohanim ba'avodasam, levi'im b'shiram. I was never there on Yom Tov by the Simchas Pesach Shoeva and see that incredible simcha that there was no simcha like. I never saw it, so how could I miss it? I can't miss something I never tasted, I never felt. There's a very beautiful, famous story about Rav Yaakov Kamenetzchi, Zeicher Tzadik Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Yaakov, when he came to America, and someone once offered him ice cream. And he didn't want the ice cream. He didn't want to taste the ice cream. And they said, it's kosher, it's Chal Yisrael. He says, I trust the kashrus. Wasn't putting any machloikis on the kashrus. Trust the kashrus. I'm Avin Yavin. He said, but he didn't have any ice cream in Europe. He didn't have any ice cream in Europe. And if he tasted the ice cream here, he'd create a new taiva for himself, a new temptation for himself. He says, I don't want any new taivas. I don't want any new temptations. And he didn't want to try the ice cream. He didn't want to try the ice cream. Because if you don't taste it, you don't have a desire for it. You don't even know what it tastes like. It's a tremendous level of a tzaddik. But it tells us for this, I've never tasted the Beis HaMikdash. I should yearn for it. I should desire it. I don't even know what it means. So what does the Beis HaMikdash mean to you and I? So Rav Bachman explained, if you look in the Rambam in Hilchas Beis HaBechira, we'll find that the Beis HaMikdash specifically, in the Mokom of the Mizbeach, which was where the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash went down, the focal point of the Beis HaMikdash, was the Mizbeach more than Kodesh Kodashim, because that's where we did Avodah. Kodesh Kodashim was one day a year, one person. Specifically had to be on the makom of Akedas Yitzchak. Right where Akedas Yitzchak occurred is where the Beis HaMikdash had to be. Why? Must be whatever Akedas Yitzchak represents is what Beis HaMikdash represents. What was the Nisayon of Akedas Yitzchak? Akedas Yitzchak is very close to my heart. It was by Bar Mitzvah, Parshas Vayera and Shvi. Some of us say it every single day. On one hand, you could say the greatest test in all of history. The greatest test in all of history. For Avram Avinu to kill his 37-year-old son, who he loved dearly, who he was promised would be a nation, hardest thing for a person to do in the entire world. Can't even imagine. On the flip side, one can argue, why do you and I struggle so much in Avodas Hashem? Why? Because we don't hear Hashem, we don't talk to Hashem. I'd like to believe if Hashem spoke to me, if Hashem spoke to Aryeh Cohen and said, go do this, what, I'm going to say no to God? So it might be hard, but I'm not going to say no to God. So if Avraham Avinu was told by Hashem, Kachno as binchas, yechidchas, yehavda, and shechtim, what, Avraham, it's hard, he's going to cry, but he's going to say no, he's not going to do it? Of course he's going to do it. So Marevi explained so beautifully, if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Nevuah, you understand there was only one Navi that had the vision of Hashem and had conversation with Hashem the way we converse with each other. What's called Asplaklaria Meira, a clear vision and conversation, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Every other Navi, every other one, including Avram Avinu, they fell into a Tardema. They fell into some level of comatose trance. You find the same Lashon, by the way, in the Rambam Hilchos Purim when you get drunk on Purim. It's a level of Nevuah. For another time, you put that in the back and we'll talk about that another time. And it was Lamaisa, you fell into a Tardem, into a trance. And then they had a dream. And the dream wasn't clear and exactly this is the message. The Navi, through his wisdom and knowledge and character traits and humility, had to interpret the dream and decipher what was the message that was being sent to him by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. A Navi Sheker was not some, you know, you walk around the streets of Yishlayim sometimes in Nold City, you find these guys who say they're a Navi, it's like Jerusalem Syndrome, and they're out of their minds. That's not a Navi Sheker. A Navi Sheker is an individual who was a real Navi, got Nevuah, but interpreted it wrong. The Navi had to interpret the Nevuah. When we see in the Torah, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Lech Lecha Me'artzcha, Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Kachnas Bincha, it wasn't that God actually said it to them. This is very, it's a novel approach, but it's emes. Something we have to, we might flip our whole understanding of Chumash upside down tonight with this understanding from my Rebbe. But it's emes Shvamito. Avram Avinu had a dream, that's what his Nevuah was. And he interpreted it in such a way that that's what Hashem was telling him. But it was up to him to interpret. So the way my Rebbe explains, you know what was the test of Akedis Yitzchak? The test of Akedis Yitzchak was Hashem brings his dream, this Nevuah, to Avram. Avram had the ability to be completely subjective. Avram had the ability to say, it can't be that Hashem means to kill my son, because I would never want to do that. It goes against everything I believe. It must mean that he ceremonially wanted me to take him up on the mountain and bind him and then have a nice feast together. He could have interpreted it in such a way. The test of Akedat Yitzchak was to see the objective truth with no negios, with no subjectivity, to say, this is what Hashem wants from me, even though it's not what I want, even though it goes against what I believe. Hashem knows better than I what's best for me. You know, in life, there's two different ways to judge something. There's tov v'ra. Tov v'ra means good and bad. There's emes and sheker, what's true and false. Tov v'ra is subjective. I like it, I want it, it's good to me. But it's completely subjective. L'mashal, we're in the sukkah, and a bee comes into the sukkah, and you're afraid, or your little sister, or somebody's afraid. So you go and you kill the bee. That's, in your eyes, very good. To the queen bee, the queen's mother, that was very bad. So the same act was good or bad, depending on your perspective. It's tov v'ra, good or bad. That's all perspective. Emes v'sheker is emes. It's objective truth. It's what God says is real and true. Whether we understand it or not. Might be raw in my eyes, but it's emes. Kedis Yitzchok was Avravino being able to take this nevu and say, it's emes what Hashem wants, and go ahead and do it. And he did, and he passed with flying colors. And therefore, that represented the ability to see truth, and see truth within oneself. And that happened on Har Habayis, and that's where the Beis HaMikdash had to be, because that's what was internalized into the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash then became the place that I could walk into, that you could walk into, that Klal Yisrael was able to walk into, and see the objective truth within yourself. No longer being subjective, being able to see who I am, what I need to work on, with the most clarity. And we have a piece of that still. We all know when we go to Klal Yisrael Maravi, we feel that. We sense it. We see a truth that we see more so than any other place in the world. Who I am, what I need to work on, who I want to be. What we're lacking and missing is that on the highest of levels. That was Beis HaMikdash. That's what we're mourning for. That's what we're missing. But then what the day must be all about is, again, seeing the truth within myself, trying to get back to that, trying to rebuild that, trying to say, the Chachamim and the Nevi might not have seen what I need to fix, but I know what I need to fix. I could be truthful with myself and to be objectively truthful with oneself. That's the avodah of these days. And to come clean and then start growing in the ways that we need to grow and use it as a catalyst for tremendous tshuva. To rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. That's the avodah. Churban Bayis Rishon we fixed very quickly because it was so clear what was done wrong and what we need to do. Churban Bayis Sheni we're still suffering because it's not revealed. But it doesn't mean we can't reveal it. We have to be brutally honest and find it within ourselves. I want to share with you, I want to just read one story that I read earlier today to end. I think it will be a big chizik teaching every one of us. At the 50th Yahrzeit for Rav Aaron Cutler, Rav Oren Reich, Rav Shneur Cutler's son-in-law, the grandson-in-law of Aaron Cutler, told this story. When Rav Aaron took sick, the Bachrim and Yungalite of Beis Medrash Gavoa of Lakewood, along with all of Torah Jewry, stormed the gates of heaven. The situation was grave. Rav Aaron the Rashiva was deathly ill, his fate in the hands of the Almighty. Yet in spite of all the sincere prayers offered on his behalf, the Sarat Torah was taken from us. While the devastation was enormous for the Torah world at large, it was even more so for the Bachrim and the young elites of Beis Medrash Gavoah. To them, Rav Aaron was not only a Rebbe and a Shiva, but a father as well. As is customary, the parochas of Aron Kodesh in Lakewood, Beis Medrash was moved to the side, and the men and boys began to cry bitter tears. What was there to say? What was there to do? What possible injection of hope could salvage the situation? Rav Nosson Ber Vachvogel, the Mashgiach of the Yeshiva, stood up to speak. The devastated Bachrim young elite bent their heads towards him as he began and hung on to his every word, desperate for solace. Short while ago, a Talmud Chacham Muvak relayed a dream of his. I never repeat it to anyone because of Rav Aaron's kavod. But now that Rav Aaron's no longer with us, I want to share the dream with you. Mashiach was sleeping on a couch. One day the Chassam Sofer walked into the room where Mashiach lay and approached him. He tapped him on the shoulder and tried to wake him, but was unable to. Mashiach would not stir. Chassam Sofer left the room. Short while later, Aaron Kotler walked into the same room and went over to the couch. He too tried to get Mashiach to stir, but was unsuccessful. Rav Aaron also left the room. Finally, a young American boy wearing a baseball cap walked into the room. He walked over to Mashiach, tapped him on the shoulder, and Mashiach arose. Rav Nosson said to the Talmidim of the Yeshiva, "Tire of Bachrim and younger light, Mashiach did not come to the generation of Chacham Sofer, and now we know he did not arrive for the generation of Aaron. However, Mashiach's coming soon. He will come for the duration of generation of young American boys wearing a baseball cap. He's coming for you." We look back sometimes and think, if Mashiach didn't come for B'kiveg or B'chlam Sofer, for fill in the gadol, the tzaddik, how could he for us? He's coming for us. He's coming for the young American boy in the baseball cap. He's coming for those in our generation with all the temptations of the generation we live in. All the easy accessibility to every avera under the sun that was never in any generation. And we're going to be steadfast and strong and not give in. And not follow the sheker, the false world and immorality and society that we live in. Where we have access to hear it 24/7. We're not living in a closed off shtetl like used to be. We live and we hear and we know and we can be influenced by the world around us like never was before. So who we become, and if we could stay strong to that and be MS, it's like nothing that's ever been achieved in this world. And that's when Mashiach's going to come. So the avoda is upon us. Dasha l'mala mimcha, just like we have to know kol darshal nivna beis hamikdash kilu nechrav, that we feel responsibility that we haven't rebuilt the beis hamikdash yet. And Hashem is going to act based on our actions. But that means we also have the capability of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. It's when we are honest with ourselves and we look into ourselves and we start saying what I really can and should fix. And start now. It's not going through the motions tomorrow and tomorrow night and Thursday sitting on the floor and eating a Suda Mafsekes and wearing non-leather shoes and not washing. Those are the motions. Those motions are supposed to inspire the change, the introspection, the honesty. That will ultimately say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we finally see it, we're finally honest. And we'll be zoicha to the Gula Shleima with Mashiach Zekeinu, B'mher B'yameinu. I'm looking forward to dancing together with everyone, B'karov Mamish. Looking forward to being together. This year we're not going to be together with Avelis, which is, I hope, a Simen Tov. We're going to be together with Simcha the next time, and I hope it's very soon. Mashiach Zekeinu Gula Shleima, Gula Beprat, Begula Bechlal, B'mhera B'yameinu. Everyone should have a meaningful, special Erev Tisha B'Av to prepare, and it should be a Yontav of Tisha B'Av, a Mirtza Hashem. Have a great night, everybody.